Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes. Radio Free Wales.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Radio Yes Cymru, the podcast which is on your favourite podcast apps and also on YouTube. And you can follow us through the Yes Cymru, yes.cymru website. My guest today is Geraint Panorama Thomas. We'll explain that later on. And we're going to be talking about, well, the events coming up with Yes Cymru at the National Eisteddfod and the big rally coming up in Bangor at the end of September with All Under One banner. Actually, Geraint, explain the middle name is Panorama. You're, of course, a photographer. Just tell the audience out there who you are.
Geraint Thomas, I live in Bala. I'm running a photography business in Caernarfon. So the gallery's called Panorama.
And he's commonly, I didn't know his surname until this evening. I thought his name was Panorama and then Williams or something generic like that. So it's a Thomas like the cyclist, as he told me. Ger, welcome to the Radio Yes Cymru podcast. Great to have you on board. Lots been happening with Yes Cymru the last couple of months. More going to be happening. I just want to just touch quickly on some things which have already happened thanks to the good work done by the members, supporters of Yes Cymru, and of course the Central Committee, Central Board. I never remember the term we use now. But we had a fantastic rally in Swansea. We'll discuss that in a minute. We also had a great conference in Aberystwyth, which we were chuffed. I'm looking forward, I think the next conference will also be in Aberystwyth. Great discussions there, stuff on economy, stuff on identity, stuff on how to do the actually marketing and engaging people with the independence cause. And then that was just like 2 weeks after the big Swansea Rally, which I thought was a great success. You were one of the organisers with the Swansea Rally, although you're living in Bala. What was your impression of the event?
I think it's totally amazing. It feels to amaze me how much petrol in the tank I get from these rallies, to be honest with you. I don't know, how can you put it? You take the independence course to a city like Swansea, which is not necessarily associated with the independence course, and then just to see the overwhelming support we had from the local people there. You know, the Swansea group were phenomenal in organising it. Just the outpouring of support. I was talking to a couple of the Yes Caernarfon guys. They were doing the leafleting either side of the march, and just bystanders standing there reading the leaflet. Somebody was going, giving them badges, and they were just pinning, they could, looking back, just and turning around and seeing people just putting the badges on and then just joining the march and then just being overwhelmed by it all. It's just a phenomenal experience for all, I think.
Yeah, I thought it's fantastic. It worked like clockwork. I was an idiot with a loudspeaker. I think we need more idiots with loudspeakers just to keep a lot of noise going. But it was fantastic. I understand there was good rapport with the authorities, with the police, which is always good to know. The route was very good. It's actually through the main centre of the city. And it's just great for me to be in Swansea and go to the market, see the place, enjoy the town, spend money there, and see the goodwill or curiosity which people had. And I think all the Yes Cymru supporters well behaved. There's no problems there. There were great discussions with people like Melin Drafod and the All Under One banner people. So there's things organized around the rally itself. And it's just a good vibes. And I think that's such a good advertisement for the independence cause. And people just taking photos. I think when I was walking and making a lot of noise, I was seeing people take photos. You know, that stuff's going to be shared on their WhatsApp group or Facebook or Instagram. So people are doing the work for us. And I think because it's the happy people marching with a positive attitude, they feel part of it. It's such good vibes to it. Was there anything which you think was different, which you did for the first time in Swansea and which you maybe want to replicate for Bangor?
I think we always tighten things up organizationally. We obviously learn every time as well. There's things I was thinking the other day, we're talking about public liability insurance. You know, a couple of years ago, we were struggling. It took about 3.5 weeks or 4 people sorting out public liability insurance. You know, by now, we know what we're doing. It's 2 emails and it's done. So we can add stuff on, you know, doing the leafleting, the local leafleting, you know, Swansea specific leaflets with the argument for independence. It's just really cool. You know, if you think about it, you know, people ask, what do we get? Why do we keep organizing marches? You know, there's so much going, personally, I think there's so much going for organizing marches. Yeah. I think, as I said before, taking the independence course to somewhere like Swansea is invaluable. I mean, it's absolutely, yeah. You know, especially with that kind of numbers, if you're talking, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people in Swansea, it's a hell of a difference from, yeah. You know, 5 or 6 standing on the square handing leaflets off for a course.
Yeah.
So it does make a phenomenal difference.
Yeah.
Again, as you said, people taking photographs on social media, but, you know, even wider within the Swansea area, there was wall-to-wall coverage on everything from the football fanzine through to local newspapers, social media. Nationally, we get coverage on radio, on telly,
yeah.
On you know stuff about everywhere, printed press, and even wider. We had TV companies from all over the world covering the thing. So I think it's we get a lot from it, and also you know we might be preaching to the choir when we're there. But, you know, I speak from personal experience. Going to, like any political event like that, you get a lot of petrol in the tank. You get yeah. the energy then to keep your campaigning going for the next 6 months from going there, from, you know, meeting your like-minded friends and listening to inspiring speeches. It does give people a lot.
But, well, and also, I noticed a lot of people I just didn't know in Swansea. I know people say, oh, it's the same people turn up every time. Right? No, it's not. You know, there's people I meet every time, but there's loads of people I'd never met before, which is great. And people maybe, I'm guessing, wouldn't go to, say, the rally in Bangor because it's just too far yeah. and they can't get there. So a lot of people, they can't make these journeys, even down to Cardiff is difficult for some people. So, I mean, it's important for people to get rallies in their locality and say, the leaflet going out, it's going to every door then, isn't it? You know, people are getting the message even if they don't want. And we don't have the big press barons. We don't have the millions of pounds which the pro UK parties and media can push on us. We've only got ourselves. And this is why it's so important, because Yes Cymru is a mass movement. The purpose of Yes Cymru is to be a mass movement, a mass populist movement. That doesn't mean being reactionary, but it does mean doing popular stuff. Because the big mistake or the big thing in which the Welsh National Movement failed for over 100 years, I think, was to create a mass movement. And my father was one of the founders of Campaign for the Welsh Parliament, but there's always, you know, a dozen or so people, worthy, good people meeting in the Metropole Hotel in Llandrindod Wells, eating bara brith and cups of tea and saucer, but it's never a mass movement. And you know, Yes Cymru is about to change. That is the whole point of Yes Cymru, you know, and also to bring out the intellectual and the factual argument as well. That's important. But the marches also bring in membership. They bring in money. People are buying merchandise, and we need this money to build the movement, to get the other stuff out, to get the publications. So I'm all for it, and I think we shouldn't dismiss people's small contribution to the national movement. Not everyone can write a policy paper, or write a poem or something, but everyone can fly a flag, and flying a flag is important because the press like it because it's good TV. I know the news people is also entertainment, you know,
yeah.
A rally with thousands of people with lots of flags and colors and music is a much better TV image than someone sitting in another hall with a cup of tea and maybe some PowerPoint presentation. You know, we've got to be visual to engage with people. I remember something you wrote for the Byline Times, which just touches on this, Geraint, which is, you know, as Dewi Sant says, you know, St. David says, do little things, and you reckon a million little things that we get independence. Tell us a bit more about that.
My thinking on this is that the theory goes that if you put 10,000 hours into something, you'll become an expert. If you put 10,000 yeah. hours of practice into piano, practicing your piano, you'll become a concert pianist, right? Mm-hmm. If you practice your snooker for 10,000 hours, you'll probably play in the Crucible someday. Now, 10,000 hours is a lot, but what if we scale it up and put a million hours into campaigning or doing something, doing the little bits, doing the bits and bobs for independence? I think it's perfectly feasible. If we all together put a million hours into it, we can easily achieve independence for Wales.
Yeah.
Now, thinking.
And do whatever you fancy. I mean, that could work.
Exactly.
Cyclists for independence. It could be a beer mats for independence. And now we in Aberystwyth need to do a bit more, but we've done a few banners on bridges. there's no point doing it all the time because people then just get a bit bored. But
how about Sean, this one, babysitting for independence, right? So if you got
indoctrinations, like very Jesuitic
parents that need to go out doing leafleting or whatever, campaigning, and they need somebody to babysit the kids. Well, those hours count towards the million.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we do it then, Sean? Is it going to be a million hours between you and I?
I don't think I have a million hours left, unfortunately. I'm getting to that stage of life. But
if we divide the million hours between the two of us, it's never going to happen, is it? If we divide it between 100 of us, it's still going to be pretty much hard work, isn't it? Yeah. A thousand of us, yeah, we might, but it's still going to be. But there's almost 10,000 people within the indie movement. If we do the million hours and divide it between all of us, it's be 100 hours each. I think together we can do it, but do everything, do the little things. They are the most important things of all. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And this is the important thing. We shouldn't be intellectual snobs. We need to take everyone on board. And for some people, going on the rally, holding the flag is a big thing. Standing with a flag for the banners on bridge is actually a big thing for a lot of people. We need to do more. We need to engage in different ways. And it could be something as fun as babysitting or, just an evening in pub organising gigs, or it could be a discussion, which is very important, or a street stall during the local food fair, festival, something. But we need to do something. I think this is what Yes Cymru has succeeded doing. And this is one of the reasons we've seen a recent poll now where over 50% of people under 34 support independence. This is absolutely crazy, for me. I mean, growing up in the, remember 1978 where we lost, I was asking my father, dad, what was it like in 79? It must have been horrible, losing the referendum. Then Thatcher comes in, doing everything which Saunders Lewis wrote in the Western Mail letter a week before to say what would happen with closing and steelworks and stuff. And my dad says, you just got to carry on. We knew we were going to lose in the referendum in 79, which maybe made it easier. But he said, we just got to carry on, you got to pick yourself up and carry on. But to have that strength of character in the 1980s, all those people, men in passing away now, to do that in the 1980s, nothing is ever going to be as bad as that. Right? People, if you think sometimes things are bad in Wales now, nothing will ever be as bad as post-79. And that's a big lesson for us. And, they could do it and we can do it in a much better situation. So this independence generation, we touched about a bit on it in the Welsh language version of the Radio Yes Cymru podcast I spoke to earlier. Cenhedlaeth Annibyniaeth is a nice rhyme in Welsh, the independence generation. There is something about it, isn't it? Because the Westminster state has given these people, anyone under 50 has had basically nothing from Westminster but grief, essentially, almost nothing. These people are open to independence. I know we'll come to this there in a minute, but are these people, I'm just asking because I'm not in the loop, are you thinking of targeting different types of people, different ages, different geographic people, or is it just all over trying to spread the jam very widely? How does it look for you?
Well, the whole concept of a generational thing is, when you come to a certain age, you think, who's gonna when's the party gonna be? So that we all know we're gonna achieve independence someday. Now, Sean and I, we're both the same kind of generation, aren't we, Sean? We assume there's going to be a party someday within our
life. And we want to be in that party.
I want to be in that party too.
Yeah.
So basically, we're thinking about the next generation.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are going to see independence. They're going to be benefiting most of all from independence. And actually, I think they need independence more than all of us, because it's going to, the way Westminster's going and the status quo, it's so detrimental to all of their lives that we need independence. They need independence, and we need to achieve independence for them as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the generational thing. But also, I think they bring so much energy. And we'll come back to the music in a bit, but there's the energy within this new generation of, and we can see it was just by a stroke of luck So hell of a coincidence that the poll came out last week.
Yeah.
You know, that everybody, you know, the demographics below the age of 35 were, you know, the majority was, the voting majority were pro-independence. And that's phenomenal, you know. That's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
And you're talking there, people who actually are working, people, you know, with kids, you know, living a sedentary life. You're not just talking about some people going to parties every time, as some people may want to characterize them. These are people, you know, this is a good cross section of people. This is, you know, this is a big shift. I was talking to an Irish friend who I met, first met in 1992 in a pub in Derry when I walked in, and he understood I was Welsh and then started speaking Welsh to me. And Paul was on a Welsh medium course, Welsh language course last week. And, you know, he says, you know, Irish unity is going to happen. When is another question, of course, but it is going to happen. There isn't a question there in Ireland. How it happens is another thing, but it will happen. So not only do we have the need, I think, for our own people just to have a better standard of life and quality of life, and I don't think Westminster is going to offer that, but we also have the situation where, you know, the Irish will reunite, and I think Scotland also will sometime get their act together after the latest petit mal and sort things out. So, I mean, there are two things going there which we need to get our people in order and activated and up for it, because, and that's where we need a big mass movement like Yes Cymru, people paying their service, but also just doing stuff. So onto the music.
Before you leave that, there's also the developing the concept as well that together we will have, we've got the levers with an absolute mass movement organization within Wales. Yeah. We absolutely, even though we might feel half the time totally disenfranchised with democracy in a way, and everything that goes on, is that at the end of the day, we can control it. You know, we can control whether or not the independence is achieved within, you know, possibly my brother's generation, maybe within our generation, within my children's generation or the next one down. It's up to us. We decide. This is the thing. Yeah. And the same concept within Irish unity, you know, together we decide. And that's the bottom line, really.
Well, the crazy thing is when we started Yes Cymru 1 2015-16, it was literally a handful of people with no money, no sort of great expertise, but tapping into something which we felt was very deep and needed to be said, even if it's just 300 people, you know, because we made a case. But obviously, by making a case confidently and clearly to people, and not apologising, as the independence movement had been doing for 100 years, it actually clicked with people. So that's also the message, to speak honestly and clearly with people, and keep the stuff simple and clear as well. Geraint, which is half your face, it doesn't make much difference if you're listening to this podcast. So maybe we can see
evening bala lights.
So we're going to talk quickly about the Eisteddfod. So National Eisteddfod's a week later than usual this year. So it's starting something like the 5th of August up in Penllyn, the arm sticking out to Wales for our non-Welsh listeners. It's going to be a great week. It's always a great week. It's also a chance to put petrol in the tank for people, you know, to get meet people, to make friends. There's a Yes Cymru stand there, as always. Go there, spend your money, keep the movement going. But I'd like to discuss briefly maybe the music, which is going on every afternoon there, 2 o'clock, if I remember correctly, for free. Maybe discuss, you know, this kind of part of the independence movement and how we maybe connect, how we need to connect also with English language pop groups out there. So do you want to explain quickly what's happening in the Eisteddfod?
Yeah, so basically, this year is that we try something different. We almost felt a sense of duty because there's been a little groundswell within the Welsh language music scene in the past couple of years, and mostly to do with really the new generation of bands, if you see the breakthrough acts that maybe I remember a time, Sean, where there was a lot of politics in music, and it was very much the music of protest and so on. And it's kind of quietened down over the years. And it's kind of still a bit quiet on the English language, you know, the wider scene, if you like. But for some reason, we feel that there's a new grown confidence in singing about independence within a lot of young bands. It's almost as if the transitions moved from people have been supportive of independence, they've had maybe Yes Cymru stickers on their guitar cases and so on, but to to move on and to become, you know, pretty vocal about supporting independence. I think it's, you know, it's pretty tectonic, and not just one or two bands, but, you know, quite a few bands are, they've got a song about independence in their repertoire. And I think we've got to pay back this, you know, if they've gone ahead and had the courage to give their own voice to independence, then I feel it's our duty then to give them the stage for that voice. And this is where this came from. So in the Eisteddfod, we've identified we've got 8 days. We've got nine acts. So there's somebody on every afternoon. They are breakthrough acts. They're at the age where they started gigging a lot. They're just going through to studio recording sessions. There's actually one of the bands, Caliburn, who's going to studio today to record a song called Yes about independence. Hell of a coincidence, but it's fantastic to hear and see. Yeah, so they're going to be all there.
Yeah, and this is great. And, you know, it's so, so important. You know, in maybe the Anglophone world, people would think maybe protest songs is Joan Baez and Bob Dylan and stuff, and it's protest against the Vietnam War. But that's not our gig, is it? You know, our job is to discuss Wales, because no one else is going to, there aren't any sort of trendy people across the world taking up our fight. We're on our own. You know, we're the only people going to fight for independence for Wales is the people living in Wales. And so we had protest songs in the 1960s with the Dafydd Iwan, a lot of other groups as well. There were some in the 1980s, of course, to do with the Margaret Thatcher and closing steelworks and stuff like that. That was going on in maybe when we were younger, Geraint. But in the 1960s and 70s, we had a lot of protest songs in Welsh, mostly around the Welsh language. Then the 1980s, early 90s, is mostly protest songs, but within a British context or against Margaret Thatcher type of stuff. But what's great now is they're talking about independence. And also even protest is something for independence more than anything.
Yeah.
And it's outside the British continent. It's basically the British continent is irrelevant. Nothing is going to happen from Westminster, even after the next general election next year. There's no big change is going to happen there. So people are just thinking as a fait accompli that independence has to be the answer. And that's a big, big shift, as you're saying.
Yeah, it's exactly it. I think it's positive singing. It's not chip on shoulder protest singing. It's positive outlook. You know, the songs about, you know, living in an independent Wales. You know, it's just positive stuff, which is amazing as well. It's something completely different, isn't it? I mean,
It's a Welsh political aesthetic.
It's confident singing, isn't it? I think it's something, again, to be. I admire it so much, Sean. I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And, you know, it's creating a Welsh political aesthetic. You know, and I remember being inspired when I was in college in 1987, was it? The Proclaimers album came out, and I thought, this is absolutely amazing. You know, the singing was such strong, authentic in their own voice about Scotland, no apologizing, no being mid-Atlantic or anything like that. It was about themselves and about what they wanted. And that was a big boost to, obviously, for the Scottish independence movement. And, you know, look where they are now. And we've had this before in the Welsh language. It's happening again, but for independence, and it didn't happen before. And in the Eisteddfod, so if you pay to go into the Eisteddfod, once you're in the field, everything's for free. So you go into the Yes Cymru stall, and there'll be music. As you say, again, these are young bands. It's on the stall. It's not a big thing. But it is important that we're supporting them because they're supporting the cause. And, you know, there's one thing which maybe people, a lot of these names are totally new to me, so I'm excited about that in itself. But there's one I have to laugh is Yes Ukuleles. So there is a Yes Cymru ukulele band, which anyone with an ounce of musical talent, which I don't include myself there, can turn up, can rock up with your ukulele or guitar, and join the Yes Cymru ukulele band. You know, this is your hour has arrived, you know, if you can make it, boys. So, I mean, that's on the Monday afternoon. So explain, how does that, because literally any idiot turn up with ukulele and join that?
Yeah, any idiots. You don't even need the ukulele. We'll have a few going spare as well. So, yeah, the song's written out, so it's just a laugh, really.
Yeah. Great.
And talking again, about Yes, Yeah, I'm talking about Yes musical groups, straying away from the Eisteddfod for a little while. We're just in the process of setting up. There's two hubs in Wales, which are, we've got two samba masters.
Oh, yes, please. That was in the latest email, wasn't it, to the members?
Yeah, so basically we're in the process of setting up Yes Samba. Rhys from Tarry and Drums, amazing guy from Pontyclun, is going to be coordinating Yes Samba, which hopefully, if we get it going, we can lead the way in Bangor for the march. Yeah,
that absolutely stonking idea. And this is exactly the kind of things we as Yes Cymru and the wider movement needs to be doing. It's engaging people with stuff they want to do. And fun stuff also, like the summer gwych, excellent idea. So that's the Eisteddfod. So Stefan, there's also discussions on the Eisteddfod. Yes Cymru got some discussions going on. I'm taking part in one by Bangor University about devolving or independence of the judiciary in Wales. I know Melin Trafford have got David Wigley. Maybe there's translation facility for that. I'm not too sure. So keep an eye on social media about that. Then let's go on to the big event, which is the All Under One Banner Yes Cymru Independence March in Bangor, the 23rd of September, is it? That's Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. The Swansea one was fantastic. I thought the calibre of the speakers were great. The event itself, the organisation was good. The colour, need more music. We need more music during in the parade. So if you've got some drums and stuff, come into the parade and dump yourself in, get some music. So we need a bit more noise. Otherwise, it looks like a lot of people going for a walk. But we're going to Bangor. Bangor's a funny place, and I say this as someone from Aberystwyth, and there's been a bit of football and collegiate competition between Bangor and Aberystwyth. It's a funny town, so it's only 10 miles from Caernarfon, but a very different kind of vibe and demographic. So Caernarfon is very Welsh language, Bangor not so much so. You've got the university there, of course, but behind Bangor you've got the old slate quarry villages of Bethesda, Rachib. So these are places which are very similar to Rhondda and the valleys down in southern Wales. And then you've got Anglesey, which has some very nice houses on, like the Anglesey Riviera, if you like. And then you've got some places of deep poverty in places like Llangefni, which itself is a very Welsh-speaking town, but then places like Holyhead, of course, which has suffered recently. And then to the east, you've got places like Llandudno. So it's, for such a small area, is a very diverse place in terms of language and income and culture, if you like. So it is to some extent a microcosm of Wales within 10 miles of itself, and you've got your different Waleses within what I call Dinas Menai, so the conurbation of Bangor, Caernarfon, Bethesda, Llanwair Pwll. So to start off, tell us quickly what the route is in Bangor so people in the area have an idea. And what plans have you got? So if you can discuss and show us the plans, get into what's going to happen there.
Yeah, so basically, as you know, we get a bit more used to organising. We learn a bit every time from organising marches. We can add a bit every time as well. So if you're familiar with Bangor, there's a car park opposite Pontio, halfway between Pontio and the Cathedral, Glanrafon car park. So we'll be starting and finishing there. With the usual stage and big screen. And then the route takes us up to the high street past the cathedral, and then all the way down to the bottom past the old Cobb Records, and down to Glen House, and then all the way up to Daniel Street and back up to Pontio. It's about a mile. Again, Swansea, I think, was the first march which we could certify as being step-free for wheelchair users, and I think Bangor is as well. So that's going to be the route of the march. I think it's going to be quite a scenic route as well, and you know, Bangor's the longest high street in Wales, so it'd be great to take part in the high street. But also we've got we had in Swansea in the markets where we had all the stalls that have been from organisations which support independence there. But this time we're going to have an extra in the market, if you like, from companies and producers who support independence. So they're going to be there selling anything from beers. There's a brewery there to all sorts of stuff that's going to be there. So it's going to be even more to see and experience.
Great. So it is a day out, so I mean, and this is an event.
Yes.
It's a place for people to come up, you know, take a weekend off, come to Bangor, go up on Friday, join the march. And then there's a gig also in the evening in Pontio. Pontio is a big the fairly new, what's it called, new art centre, which is just below the old college in Bangor. So it's a very nice building. And there's a gig there in the evening, on a Saturday evening, which is a stonking gig as well. So I'm looking forward. And having the things, like I say, the stores, it's making the movement mainstream, isn't it? This is the great thing. We're talking to ordinary people, not just the political geeks like you and I, Geraint. You know, we're talking to people who are just interested. And Yes Cymru has managed to connect with people. You know, again, this has never really happened in Wales. It never really happened with the devolution movement in 79, nor even in 97, really, or even the referendum in 2011. It was never a big mass movement. It was always something which is quite small and within some sections of society. So having something of this magnitude is so important, and then having Samba Band there would be great. But
but also with indie markets and all of this is going, it's normalizing independence.
Yeah.
You know, with the producers and companies, we haven't actually put an appeal out. We haven't actually communicated it yet because we're still sorting the permits out and all sorts.
Yeah.
But we've had companies come up to us, say, please, if you're doing a march in Bangor, can we take part in it? We want to you know, successful companies want to be part of our march. You know, they Amazing. Want to be associated with the independence movement, which is, I think, it's fantastic. Yeah,
but it is, and I think companies very often have a bit of idea what's happening on the ground, and maybe we do as well, because they're obviously thinking obviously about their bottom line, and they wouldn't necessarily want to be connected with something they think is a loser streak or loser street, isn't it? So I think that in itself says a lot. It's going to be an interesting next 12 months, isn't it, or so, because we have the Eisteddfod, we have the rally in Bangor, there's other events going on within the wider independence family. I know Melin Drafod are organising an event in Machynlleth in September. We'll have them on Radio Yes Cymru as well. They've got a booklet coming out. They've got some ideas as well to try and widen the discussion and bring in more ideas in what kind of independence we want. And then the big things which is going to happen next year in 2024, there has to be a UK general election. Now, I think most people are thinking Labour are going to win this somehow or another. You know, it's there for Labour to lose, essentially. How do you think, I'm taking you off piece now, sorry, Geraint, we didn't discuss this really, but I mean, how do you think that's going to affect maybe the general independence discussion here in Wales and in Scotland? Or will it have any effect at all, do you think?
It's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be it's going to change. It's going to be quite interesting. There's going to be, you know, two elements to it. I think from, you know, we all know, Sean, from experience, that, you know, that this goes around the campaigning for a general election. You know, it does affect the independence campaign for a short while. Independence takes the back burner, if you like, but still, you know, it's we can absolutely keep independence there centre stage if we play, you know, play the cards right, really. So that's going to be the first. Assuming if Labour go in, then it just does change the conversations we'll have about our relationship between democracy in Wales and democracy in Westminster. You know, there's going to be a bit of conflict maybe between the Labour Party in Wales and Labour Party in Westminster, which is going to, you know, create some interest, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's going to be different. I don't think it's going to undermine the independence argument. I think to an extent, I think it actually strengthened the argument, because I don't see much is going to happen there. And anyway, I think a lot of people at the moment are still banking their hope through change with Westminster. And I think once Labour, assuming they're in the way, I don't think there's going to be a big change there. I think there'll be something, but there seems to be no change at all in terms of giving more powers to Wales, which is quite shocking. So we'll see what happens. But I think we as a movement just need to start thinking about this and how we position this. And, you know, I think that a lot of people will start thinking, okay, you know, independence is the way forward. There's not much going to happen with Westminster. But that's maybe something which we'll be discussing next year. You're listening to me, Sean Robbins, here on the Radio Yes Cymru podcast. We're on your favourite podcast apps. We're on YouTube, and you can also find us on the Yes Cymru website, yes.cymru, and find us there under community or videos, I think. I'm speaking to Geraint Panorama Thomas, the photographer, but also a very active and important Yes Cymru member on the National Board. I need to write this down. National Committee Steering Group, and we're discussing the forthcoming event, the National Eisteddfod and in Bangor. And then, you know, winter time is always difficult. You're going into sort of November, and it's basically people are closing down for Christmas. Something which worked out quite well last year, maybe much to my surprise, certainly, was the leafleting in some of the rugby matches. I think people did one or two matches and actually worked international matches, and it worked out better than maybe people expected. My experience of this 20 years ago was that people are just not interested on international match. They just go out for a session, a good time, and they don't want to discuss politics, even people who are political. But I think a few people did do this and actually worked out quite well. Is that something which we maybe need to start thinking about? I mean, if I remember, I think people are giving leaflets out by the train station, which maybe is a better idea than outside the stadiums. I don't know. Does that go into a million hours, Geraint? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I never underestimate the power of a leaflet. Never. From personal experience, I was working with a company in Llangefni, and it was during the 2019 election fight, and I was working with in the canteen of a company there, just ordinary working class guys, 20 of them around the table, and they were discussing Boris Johnson and Westminster politics and Brexit and whether Brexit was the right thing to do, and who was a Remona and who was a Brexiteer and all of this. And then one of the guys who was just an apprentice, you know, 19 years old, popped up and said, do you know what I feel? He said, I think we should leave, he said. And somebody said, well, Europe? He said, no, just leave London, he said. Leave them, because I tell you what, right? And then he went on. That was, you know, pretty much astounded. I was just sat there having a cup of tea, listening on. Yeah. And he went on to quote figures, you know, and they were from the Yes Cymru leaflet. They were, you know, about energy production, about water, about the economy, and about all of this. And he had them. He'd obviously sat and read it, and it totally changed. And then there was a discussion. There was a discussion there in the canteen. I said, "What? Are you serious about that?" One of the guys said. I said, "Yeah, I am. You know, I've read about it, and yeah, I'm pretty convinced by it." Well, I'd never thought about it. One of the other guys said, "You know what? And maybe if we put 100 leaflets through doors, maybe 90 will get ignored, maybe 10 will get read, and maybe 2 or 3 it will change people's opinions." Yeah. So absolutely, you know, leafleting, doing the little things is vitally important to the long-term goal of achieving independence.
Yeah. And I think also people respect people who go out and do the donkey work. I think there's a respect then for people who say, okay, you haven't just sat on your backside expecting people to do stuff and just been on social media, you actually got out. And I think there is some respect there as well. And I think when we do the banners and bridges, and we need to do more than that, but I think there's an element of banter and people having fun. But I think some people just think, okay, fair play, these boys are serious about it and they're willing to give an hour on Saturday morning to do this, you know, and there's some, because nobody else is doing it. So people aren't going to fly the flag for the UK. You know, they don't need to in a way. But I mean, we're making a case, and I think people will respect us because we will win by people thinking, okay, well, you know, I know the woman next door, she's a nice person, she's with Yes Cymru Independence, and she's not a barking mad person, maybe they are right. And it's that kind of human day-to-day connections, I think, which will win the independence vote, however it happens, and whenever it happens for us. Geraint Thomas,
when you talk about leaflets and this kind of thing, one thing we'll have coming out in the Eisteddfod, and they'll be available all through Wales, is, I don't know if you might have seen them, the graphics that went into the Peckindy cards, and they're coming out on social media now. So we've adapted all of them. We've adapted a lot of them into beer mats, and they're currently being printed. So they're currently being printed as we speak, and a company in Cerrigadrydion, would you believe it's printing beer mats? So they'll be available in the Eisteddfod, so local groups and activists are welcome to To contact the S company and get some beer mats. And if you want an excuse then to, you know, to wet your whistle, and then it's the perfect excuse to take some beer mats to the local pub.
Yeah, and Carrig is one of the prettiest Welsh place names, I think, but it's usually called Carrig by the local people. But no, that's a great idea. And these cars are fantastic. And again, back in the Yes Company conference in Aberystwyth in, was it May, was it? Or just after the Swansea March. We had a great presentation about these cards, and they're there for people if you're having a local Yes Company stand in the local agricultural fair in your town, or food festival or gig or something. These cards give people facts and figures about independence in a nice way. You can play a game with people, you can ask them questions, see if they're right or wrong. These are great things. It's something which you can buy as an individual, as a group, and I think we need to sort that out in Aberystwyth and get them going, because it's such a tactile and pleasant way to start a conversation with someone about independence and have the facts. And you know, the more you're doing this stuff, you'll get to know the facts yourself, so you have more confidence then to talk to people about independence in canteens or on the doorstep. This is exactly the kind of thing we need to be doing as a movement. I'm so excited about this. It's such a good idea. I remember, is it Phil from Merthyr and another chap, I think, from Aberdeen, gave the presentation. I forget his name, sorry. But they were this great presentation. So again, Nigel. So they were great and such a good idea. Yeah. Oh, that's very good news. I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm going to wrap up now. But I mean, it's been wonderful speaking to you again. And thanks for making the time tonight in a glorious view behind your house in Bala.
I've been dodging shadows.
We've been dodging shadows here, yeah. It's like there's like a noir film, a Welsh noir film from the 1950s. We've seen half of Geraint's face at times if you're watching YouTube. We see we see him in full Technicolor glory at the moment. So yes, my name is Sean Jobbins. This is the Radio Yes Company podcast. Please like us, give us a good rating on the usual podcast stuff, download the podcast, share it with your mates. And also watch us on YouTube, or you can find us through the Yes Cymru, yes.cymru website, and share it on Facebook and on Twitter. Geraint, diolch yn fawr ti eto. Thanks for making the time. Sure. I look forward to seeing you at the Eisteddfod. Look forward to seeing loads of people up in Bangor, and I know there's loads of good things happening for independence. We're on the way, people. We're marching to independence. Join Yes Cymru, pay the subs, but more importantly, just do stuff. Whatever makes you happy, do it in the name of independence and Yes Cymru. Until next time, from me, Sean Jobbins, take care.
Yes. Yes. Yes Cymru Radio. Yes. Yes.